If you want to plot the thing that happens as not on your N1 or N2, out the window goes your theology, your God concept. Because now all of a sudden, where am I now? So you want to tell me that everything that I've believed from the day that I was born up until now was a lie? Something like that. And then we get all these lies and stuff that gets told to us by the enemy. But anyway, you know, I started studying theology. Praise the Lord for that. For the first time in my life, I see the synergy that there is in the Word of God. And yes, if you take one piece of Scripture, and that is your piece of Scripture, then you will be deceived. But if you take the Bible as a whole, oh, hallelujah, that brings out a lot of stuff. But anyway, I'm getting off track here. The maverick way. Of the four Gospels, which one would you guys say is the maverick one? John. John is the maverick gospel. The fact that John, praise the Lord that John is in the Gospels, but the fact that it is there, it's kind of strange. Because you got the synoptic Gospels. Okay, I'm going to throw a couple of big words here. It's not because I'm so smart. I only learned it a while back. But the synoptic Gospels are Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Those are the ones that is more of a Jewish tradition. And then you get John, the maverick gospel. Totally different. Okay, now we read it and we know it. But why? Have you ever stopped and just thought, why? Why is John so different than the other three? Well, hallelujah. This was my essay for one of my subjects. So I had to go and study John. And why John is John? So I had to read a lot of books. So if I can encourage you to read a couple of books, do that. When we look at any piece of Scripture, you know, and the second years did this in hermeneutics now. And some of them just said, oh, I cannot do this. Hermeneutics just means an interpretation of Scripture. So they're sitting there and thinking, oh, not again. But what hermeneutics says is you take the Scripture and you interpret it in a certain way. Firstly, you look at what is cultural background of what happens in that book. For whom was it written? Because many times, you know, when we look at the Bible, we think God came sovereignly with Moses, with the Ten Commandments, and he wrote down the whole Bible. And don't tell me, you know, some people's thinking, don't you try and say to me that it was written by humans. No, it's God's inspired word. Yes, it is God's inspired word. But it was written by human beings like you and like me. Okay? So, what does this mean? It means that this person, John, he wrote down the gospel according to him, but he filtered it through his brain, his experiences, and what he had to give. The other ones, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they were Jews. Okay? But John, he was a Jew also. He came to a place where he was kind of expelled, if you want. Him and his community. They were expelled from Jerusalem. And they lived in Essenes, okay? Somewhere near Jerusalem. And then they call them the Johannine community. So the other people, the other Jews, they looked upon the Johannine community and thought, listen, we cannot mix with you because you are friends with the Samaritans. Okay, and the Samaritans were like people that were not purebreds, not totally Jewish. They mixed with the Gentiles. So all of a sudden, these people, they were all cast out. They were just going there and being on their own. Now, what does this have to do with anything? And I'm not going to go through the whole list with you guys tonight, because I can go back and say the reason why it is because, you know, there was a guy named Philip, and his son was about this tall, and he took over the whole world. What is his name? The Great Alexander. Alexander the Great, he took over the whole known world, but by doing that, he brought a whole Greek culture with him. You know, when they went to a place, they Hellenized the whole thing. So they Hellenized the world. They said, listen, everything that is Greek is good, and everything that is of the world as they saw it is bad, so I'm going to do it this way. But they did, you know, God allowed it because of Alexander the Great, we had our first universal language, like English today. Greek was spoken over the whole known world because of this dude. Anyway, he died prematurely at 33. A little bit of a bummer for somebody that almost got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world. And then he died. But anyway, so this was Alexander. He was the man who did all that. After that, there was a lot of fights and stuff. And the Jews, they were kind of in the middle of this. They saw empires come and empires go. The empire of the Greeks came. They saw it and it went. But along with it came a lot of stuff. Okay. Then after them, we got Roman and Julius Caesar and Pompey and all of those dudes, the Caesars, of the Roman Empire. So the Roman Empire came and brought with it a lot of ideas, a lot of things. Okay, so I just want you guys to just keep it in your mind. Then, in John 13 verse 33, we read something just kind of weird. Knowing that John is a Jew, and the people that obviously went out with him were Jews, he speaks in John 13, 33, and he says, the Jews. Now, obviously, when we read that, it doesn't matter really what it is. When we read that, it's kind of like, if I can put it into today's terms, you know how patriotic Americans can be. Okay? It's like saying to an American, saying, patriotic as he is, speaking about his own people and saying, those Americans. Or a South African, good one, saying, those South Africans. Kind of like they're not part of those people. Anyway, if you go and delve into that a little bit, you'll just see those Jewish people, those were the people, the religious authorities, the religious leaders, and these people were set out going to the Johannine community. They were cast out by those people because they were thinking differently, they were following Jesus, and they didn't want to do the things as the religious leaders do it. So they put them out. Now, is it any different today? No. The biggest resistance that you will get in life will not be from the world. When you follow Jesus wholeheartedly, your biggest resistance will come from the church, from the religious people. They will be the ones saying to you, no, 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 no. For you to really be saved, you need to be this, circumcised. You need to hold the Sabbath. You need to, and so on and so on and so on. So, when we read in 1333 about that, that's just why they spoke of the Jews as those people who set them out to go and fend for themselves. But anyway, you know, I'll just skip. You can go and read a little bit further about that. What happened in John 4, verse 39 to 42, we read of this large Samaritan group that started to follow Jesus. And that group kind of got intertwined with the Johannine people, okay? And all of a sudden, John, the guy who wrote it, let's say John, is in the mix with people thinking like the Romans think, people thinking like the Hellenists, the Greek people think, people thinking like the Samaritans think. And obviously, there might have been some Gentiles there too. So all of a sudden, you've got this whole community of people that he just had some understanding with. Now, if you are a Jew, and the only people that you hang around are Jewish people, how will your writing look? A little bit Jewish. Okay? So Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they've got that because, yes, they did get into contact, but not as much as John with other people. And they wrote it for the Jews because they wanted the Jews to get saved. John, actually, he goes a little bit differently. Now, if you've fallen asleep, time to wake up. In Jewish thought, okay, you have the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That's how Jewish people think. That's how we think also, okay? We think we've got a past, we're here tonight, and we're going somewhere. So that's how Jewish people thought. That's why when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it starts with some of them with the angels singing, you know? Some of them with the baby, and, you know, before that even just with Mary. So it starts with the birth of Jesus, and it gradually goes up, and it ends with just the ascension. Okay? So that's how it worked. Then you get to the Maverick Gospel, and it doesn't look like that at all. It's just like, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it came down to earth. Boom! There you go. Why? Why does he start it like that? Now, if you don't go and do research a little bit of theology, a little bit of background about these things, you will never know. But I'll tell you tonight. I won't go and make you read it. Okay? It's like that because of all these things that the Johannine people experienced, all of the influences that they had, and especially the Greek influence. This guy who wrote John, with the people around him, said, listen, there's a world out there that we need to reach. They're not all Jews. They're not all going to think like Jews think. We need to reach them. I need to put something down so that they can understand it. Okay. So, Greek thinking was not a horizontal line. Greek thinking was horizontal. Vertical. Hallelujah. Thank you. Was not, their thinking was vertical. So for them, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, what's that now? Above and below. Heavenly, earthly. That's how we think. We are Greeks. That's how we think. The gods above, we are on earth. The spiritual, great. The fleshly, okay? So all of a sudden, you get this whole thing of the above and the below. And now when you read John, oh, boom, in the beginning, the Word was with God, the Word was God, came down to earth. Chup, chup. A Greek mindset reads it and says, I understand this above, below thing. And then it goes on and says, and the light came into the world. And that was another big thing for the Greeks. This light-darkness thing. They understand that. Oh. So the light of all eternity came into the world. Ah. Now I can understand. So when you start to understand, you know, why the writer of that gospel wrote the way he did, God will open a lot of things for you. You know, he will take that scripture and it will become alive when you see what Jesus wants to show you. Anyway, my time is running out. I've got so much to say. But, hallelujah, you can speak to me when you see me. And then I'll tell you about the maverick gospel. What a wonderful thing. Just one thing. You know, one of the books that I read about this, this guy, he's a professor or whatever in some big institution. And he goes and you know, as among scholars, the tradition is, you know, you go to your peers. If Louis and I are studying or are scholars, then when I write something, I'll take it to him and say, listen, check this for me. And then he'll read through it, and then he'll give me a critical analysis of that thing that I've read. So what did he do? He took to one of his scholars who's not a Christian, doesn't believe in God, and he took the Maverick Gospel, John's Gospel, gave it to her to read. And then when she came back, she needed to tell him what she understood from that thing. And it was amazing. She understood the gospel when she read that. Where if she would have read, say for instance, Matthew, Luke, or Mark, she might not have understood it as good or as well. But now because of it, the way that it is written, she can understand. And, you know, afterwards he asked her if she wanted to give her life to the Lord. She said, no, she'll just wait on that one a little bit. But anyway, John's gospel is the easiest for us and for people outside to understand. Because John was not in this place where he had only his views. He was in a place where he could interact with people. Where are you tonight? Are you in a place where you can interact with people? Are you in a place where you can understand how other people think? Because that's the big mistake that we make as Christians, as the Church of Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, save us from ourselves. Because we go, and with our understanding, we go and say, this is what you must believe. You will believe it, or you will die and go to hell. Woo. Yes, give me something of that, man. I want to go to heaven. Many times we do this whole emotional thing on people, where when we understand where they come from, we can allow the Holy Spirit through us to get them to a place where they can make a quality decision for Jesus and not us coming down on them like a ton of bricks. Anyways, I'll just go through these couple of stories that I've got here. In the Gospel of John, there's only, I might be wrong, I think 4 or 5. Sorry for my notes. I've again just talked me out of my notes tonight. But just go to the next one. The book of grace to the whosoevers. In the Gospel of John, there's about four or five stories, miracles that's recorded that is in the other ones, where the Synoptic Gospels correlates almost exactly. But there's just a year and a there. Why? You don't know? Must I tell you? In Roman culture, Roman thinking, okay? Again, in Roman thinking, and the way that they were the law people, okay? So they were very into their law thing. The Roman Empire, hallelujah, but we need to do it with the law. So it is great and wonderful. But their mindset was one of, you skip over the menial things. So things that does not have value, you skip over them quickly. But the things that are really of value, you spend significant, sufficient time on them. When you read the Gospel of John, that's what happens. The Gospel of John skips over a lot of stuff. Just says, yeah, you know, they were there and then they were gone. But then, extended conversations, extended things of things that really mattered to the writer, and he wanted to get the point across to the people that we wrote to. He goes into significant detail about that situation. Like this one, for instance, the woman at the well. You know, Jesus stops, he speaks to that woman time and time and time again. Even though she goes on and on and on and on. And I'm not going to be chauvinistic. I'm just checking who's awake. Okay. Anyway, somebody's awake at least. But she goes on. And then the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that we must worship in Jerusalem. And it's the place where men ought to worship." Next one. "And Jesus said to him, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you shall neither worship the Father in this mountain nor at Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for the salvation is of the Jews." Okay, so there's that Jewish thing again. "But the hour is coming and now is when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such to worship him. God is spirit, and they who worship him must do so in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I am the one who is speaking to you." Hallelujah. All of this detail, why? Because it is the grace, the gospel of grace for the whosoever. If you are a Samaritan outcast woman who's caught in whatever mischievous thing that you've been doing, being a harlot, the gospel is for you. It takes significant time to explain it to the people. The next one. Click again. The book of grace for the man at the pool of Bethesda. This guy was sitting there for 38 years. And then we see Jesus come after 38 years, this man being very close to his healing. Jesus comes, say, "Listen, rise up and walk. Your faith has made you well." The book of grace for the whosoever, even those sitting with infirmity for 38 years. And then the last one. Only in John's gospel do you find this, where Peter denies Jesus. And you know the story. I'm just going to paraphrase it. I must finish tonight. Jesus comes in after Peter has denied him 3 times. The author of the Gospel of John makes us understand, listen, this guy, Jesus came and he restored him 3 times. The 3 times that he has denied him, 3 times Jesus has restored him. And I believe firmly that if it was 5 times, he would have done it 5 times. 10 times. I don't even care. The gospel of grace for the whosoever. In the gospel of John says, listen, you might think that you've denied Jesus 50 times. He will come to you again and again because he loves you. Because it is for the whosoever. And then, when you read the Gospel of John, you will see, listen, maybe this guy wasn't so whacked. Maybe this guy had a purpose in mind. He wanted to reach the whole world. That was his heart. Not just some nation. Everybody. That is who he wanted to reach. You know, take the time and start researching, studying God's word, understanding why things are said the way that they are said. And God will make some awesome discoveries apparent to you as you do that. So I've just done the Gospel of John, and it's just such a blessing to me. And after I've given in my essay, which I thought was wonderful, I got a whole 56% for it. And it was 5,000 words. Do you know how much words? That's a lot of words. Anyway, so after a lot of reading and 5,000 words presented to this guy, and I thought I really kicked some serious Johannine booty. You know what that guy, you know, the doctor, professor, dude, whatever, wrote back to me? He said, yeah, it's wonderful, but you just touched on the menial things. And I'm thinking, I don't have that much time to go into it again. So what he's just saying, I'm touching the basic things. The basic things of Johannine stuff. And I thought I was really kicking it, man. But I wasn't. So I know there's so much more that can be open to you when you set your mind to it. That's why God says, listen, study my word. And a good place to start is to study the history of 50 years before Jesus came until 100 years after Jesus came. It's just 150 years of history of the Bible that you need to study. But then when you understand that and you see a couple of things, it makes the Bible come alive in technicolor. Anyway, please stand with me tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word, Lord God, but through your human vessels, Lord, that served you wholeheartedly, Lord God, and wanted to bring your heart across, Father. And Father, we bless you, Lord God, for the Gospel of John, Lord. The maverick gospel, Lord God, that's just so way out, Lord God. But Father, it's so significant, Lord God. Father, we can read it and we can see your heart, Lord God. We can see your heart, Lord, for all nations, for all people, Lord. And we can see the grace, Lord God, that you've got for each and every one of us, Lord God. Even if we are a woman at the well, outcast of society, Lord, sitting there, going out, drawing water by ourselves, you come and you speak to us. Lord, if we are sitting wanting our healing or something, Lord God, for 38 years, Lord, that like that guy, Lord, at the pool of Bethesda, Lord God, you come to us, Jesus. And Lord, even like with Peter, Lord, if we deny you, Lord God, you will never deny us, Lord, because you are always faithful. And Lord, you come to us, Lord, and you give us the opportunity, Lord God, just to make it right. So if you're here tonight and you are falling in any of those categories, you're feeling like an outcast, you're feeling like you've denied Jesus, then the gospel of grace is here for you, or if you want healing. Then I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand boldly, and then I'll just pray for us tonight. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. So if the Lord has spoken to you tonight, just raise your hand, and then I'll pray with you. Hallelujah. Father God, you see these hands, Lord God, raised to you, Lord. And Lord, I bring, Lord God, my brothers and my sisters before you, Father. And Lord, I ask, Lord God, that as they stand here, Lord, that you would just do, Lord God, like you did, Lord, in this maverick gospel, Lord God, the gospel of John. Lord, and come to us, Lord God, in the place, Lord God, that we find ourselves, Lord God. And Father, whatever the situation is, Lord God, that these hands are raised before you, Father, I ask, Lord, that you will come and you speak into their heart, Lord God, the word of peace, Lord God, the word of healing, the word of reaching out, Lord God, and the word, Lord God, of just bringing us back to you, Lord. And Father, every heart, Lord God, that is open, Lord, to you, Holy Spirit, I ask, Lord God, that you would just come and just bring that peace, Lord God, that surpasses all understanding, Lord. And that we can know, Lord God, that the gospel, Lord God, of grace, Lord, is for each and every one of us. And it doesn't matter, Lord God, what we've done or where we've been, Lord God. When we turn to you, Lord, you will forgive us our sins, Lord, and we can move on with you. And I ask, Lord God, for a blessing, Lord God, in each of these lives, Father. Lord, that we can go, Lord God, and just experience, Lord, your grace in every situation in our lives. Lord and Father, that we can be in a place, Lord God, where the writer, Lord God, of the Gospel of John was. Lord, that we can interact with so many people, Lord God, and the thing in our heart, Lord, is just to have them see you, Lord Jesus. Change that in our hearts tonight, Lord, and we just bless you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, even though we are sometimes unfaithful, Father. And we bless you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. If you've got any prayer requests or anything, I'll gladly pray with you tonight. But thanks for coming. See you again next week, and enjoy your week. The Lord bless you.